So this is about the Altus server discovery. And maybe you go to the next slide. I also have to see what we wrote there. So we have made some updates in the -031, meaning I think the past draft never really had normative language in it. So there was some must and should, but they were, let's say, not capital letters. So this has been changed. And there it would be good if people can read this because normative language is a bit different than usual language to see if it really fits the needs we have. We asked before the meeting in Taipei, I think directly after the meeting in Quebec, we asked for an expert review from the DNS directorate because we do a lot of DNS-related things like reverse DNS lookups. And we did know that there is some contention about this one. And we got a review. And I think we have addressed some of those comments. But there are some spots where we're still weak we need to address later on. So there's a new section on operational considerations and general security considerations added to the document. And those are basically trying to address the expert review comments we have received. Next slide, please. So we added some clarifications to the introduction saying that we are not trying to find any server which is out there, but to find your server, which means the closest server actually in your network. This seems, for us, it was clear, but in the text, it wasn't clearly expressed. And that we use, because there was also the question, like, why the hell are you using the UNAPTR process? And we said we are not only needed to find the server name, but like the full URI for the server that we know how to enter into the server there. So there's this new precondition, which is not in scope. If you have clients which have multiple interface, for instance, you have your mobile phone, which is connected via wireless LAN, you have and your GSM or UMTS uplink, you might have finding multiple Altus servers. And then it's hard to tell which one is actually the best one for you. And I think we gave some recommendations there that when you try to send out packets in one interface, you should or you must pick the Altus server which is assigned to that interface. But it's not that completely clear. NAT discovery is a bit of clarification there. And we have this clarification of methods to retrieve domain names. Just added some sentence to make the text a bit more clear because this deals with the reverse DNS stuff and to say you should use the first DNS suffix determined. And you may other methods, you might try other methods if the UNAPTR stuff has failed.
Hi, Rich Alimi. For Altus servers cannot redirect clients to better server, is it should not be required to, or it's forbidden to redirect clients to a better server?
Well, it just says it's the current document is not discussing this because we are not sure what the best is sometimes.
Okay.
So we leave this open. If you have suggestions, we are happy to take it.
Okay. I guess doing an HTTP redirect to a better server seems within the rights of what an Altus server should be able to do.
Yes.
I completely agree that they shouldn't be required to do it.
Yes. But this we leave to the Altus spec.
In fact, there are Altus servers implementations that do redirect clients to better server, which facilitate a lot the discovery of Altus servers.
Yes. It's from our understanding, this was like part of the Altus protocol. And we said it's not like the first, it's not the, maybe the, this should be even mean to be like the first discovery to find a Altus server which is responsible for you.
Yeah, but if you rely on Altus redirects, the first Altus server you query becomes less strategic because anyway, you're going to find another one.
If the Altus server knows about the others.
Yeah.
So there are some people who say you could imagine that you have like one single global entry Altus server.
Yeah, keeping in mind that out there, the only Altus servers that exist are on CDNs, which is a controlled environment. So you know what are your Altus servers. We're not talking about peer-to-peer between Sydney and Oslo.
True.
So
but
it's easy to define one Altus server anywhere, and this Altus server will redirect you to the most appropriate one.
In this CDN use case, that's true. But since the document needs to be generalized, so working in any use case.
Indeed. But it's just that statement that is a bit extreme. When you say Altus server cannot redirect, it seems to me it's not really true.
That's true, yeah. We should revise that, indeed.
I'm Haibin So. I think here, closest Altus server does not may not mean that it's closest to the end client. if the end client uses a proxy to access the internet, maybe that may mean the auto server is closest to that proxy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the term closest is a bit weak. Next slide, please. Oh, yes, DNS reverse lookup. So maybe just talk about the slides. So it's probably most of us are no DNS. You send a query, you get a response for your web page or your email client. But there's also the reverse DNS. You can put in an IP address into the DNS, and the DNS gives you the name to this IP address. And this is called reverse DNS, and it's a bit tricky because if you try it for all the IP addresses you are finding, you might see that maybe for like 40, 50% of the IP addresses, there are no responses from the DNS server because there are no entries. Or you might end up that their DNS name, let's say if you get a DNS name, you make an IP address resolution. And then you take the IP address and make the reverse DNS, you might get like two different names for the same host. And so there are like many things on how this is done, how this is configured. So it's completely not that easy to make reverse DNS. And there's one thing, it's like this, there's no unique way of maintaining the DNS tree. Everybody can do it like on its own in every operator, maybe even in the same operator it's different. We had added text like that you need to be able to deal with those cases, especially if there's a failure. And if it comes to tree climbing for IPv6, we are completely screwed because the tree climbing means basically you take the eight bits, like one byte of the IP address, and you use this like a node in the tree, and you climb. For IPv4, that's fair enough, but for IPv6, with like 128 bits, it's a bit problematic, and the DNS people told us, better don't do that. We are anyway going to say that's either historic or depreciated the method in IPv6, so we cannot rely on that one. So we don't have a solution for this right now. Then there are quite a tons of other issues we probably have documented, but I'm not sure. And the recommendation is that the implementer should consider skipping this step of climbing through the tree. We are looking for better solutions to find out what is the name of your IP address, but we haven't found that. Some of the DNS people told us, why are you not looking at who is? And we looked at the RFC for who is, and I recommend you do it. So to see, we probably shouldn't do an RFC. It's a very lightweight one. So that's one of the bigger headaches we have right now. If there's anybody in the room who has a good idea how to find the host name for an IP address in an excellent way, which is working under all conditions, please write to the email list or come to us and tell us. Next slide, please. So we have the general security considerations added there, put some text there. Then they also discussed what happens if you have a suboptimal or wrong auto server to the application. It's probably good if you read the text. And then I think we go to the next slide. And the next step is, this all items addressed? I personally don't think so. We could assume this, but we will be pushed back again by the DNS directorate in the end. And we are still fighting to get a real good solution. And we're currently discussing this, and I think we'll come back with some emails to the mail list very soon to solicit from some feedback, because we as the authors are also a bit lost on how to continue there. And the chairs told me it's really important to get the document, so we should have some solution at the end. Maybe concluding remark is that the initial solution we were envisioning, so that you have, you have like manual configuration, take input from a DHCP option, or make a reverse DNS. This was like, from our view, a good engineering solution. But we got the message, it's not a good solution. We should be standardizing here, and we should find a better one. Questions?
Richelini, one of the things that might make sense is for the people who actually have applications of Alto that are either out in the wild or will be out in the wild, it might make sense to see if they really depend on DNS today. So it seems like it might be worthwhile to consider like getting an initial version that doesn't use DNS out or published, and then address the use case of Alto clients that need to use some that an extension to server discovery that handles the rest of the Alto clients who would rely on something else.
Do we have people something which can tell us something about that, alternative methods they have? Or do you find your Alto server? No, the question, which said maybe we should have a solution without DNS if somebody has it already. So, and, well, we should say, I have to add, the solution we are working on was intended to work, let's say, for two use cases. One use case is where the Alto client sits directly on the resource consumer, your peer-to-peer client, for instance, or your request router in the CDN case. But it's also the other case where, for instance, you have the tracker, which is actually the Alto client, meaning the tracker is not directly at the client, and you also would need to find the appropriate Alto server for a client's IP address.
Fabio Picconi. So last time I presented a draft on Alto servers running in the home network, and I was wondering whether this could be something interesting to include in the discovery draft. Typically, now that we're considering redirects, maybe that Alto server running on the home network could be just an Alto server that I discover through our local discovery mechanism, and just that's a redirect to an ISP control server which is not in the home network.
Could be one way of doing it.
John Peterson, kind of echoing, I think, what Stefano was saying a moment ago, I'd be really surprised if there were cases where the Alto client is in a CDS request router where it needs to dynamically discover the Alto server it's communicating with.
That's true.
These things are going to be pre-provisioned. That should not even be a use case.
Well, the CDN request, because all that's true. But if you go to the tracker for peer-to-peer.
I agree. The peer-to-peer case is completely different, right? But I think that, and we're not really using this much for peer-to-peer at the moment.
Indeed.
It's also the point that Stefano made.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that what you're seeing here partially is that there isn't a lot of market drive, actually, to get server discovery. I think I agree with you. We need it. I think, again, the methods that we have at our disposal aren't all great, right? And the pushback you've gotten from the DNS folks about the reverse tree lookups and things like that, I think, is not going to go away.
Right.
I think the DHCP option and things like that are probably reasonable alternatives if you've got confined network, you've got clients in and you know you want to be able to point them to a specific Alto server in the network. Things like that just seem, from a deployment perspective, plausible, at least to me. But for the CDN use case, or for anything that is infrastructural in that fashion,
it's different.
You don't need a discovery function. Yeah. You just don't.
So for maybe addressing this comment, for the general concern about using DHCP was, it's good if you have deployments using DHCP, but for instance, all the DSL networks, they have like PPP over Ethernet. And one way could be, maybe it's even the better way by the perspective today, that we say we make an extension to DHCP for that and an extension for PPP. So, because all the other ways don't look that promising right now. Yeah,
I fully agree with John's comment. So we clearly don't need that function on controlled environments or whatever they are. As for your initial question, how implementations deal with this, well, we have kind of proprietary extensions to the protocol where the Alto server gives, while giving a hint, it can also give the address of a better Alto server.
Mm-hmm.
This just works. So, and this is the only thing we need. Mm. But in most of the time, you need this function only at bootstrap. So only to discover the first time you want to find. So it's really a small function which is not critical, and you have multiple ways to solve it without even requiring any standardization.
So my take is, like, my general take is that we always have this third-party discovery where the tracker is actually doing something that's like overtaken by events, so we probably need that less, and we can live with, let's say, somebody is doing provisioning for the control environment, and we should be focusing on, let's say, getting it working for home customers with DHCP and PPP.
The definition of home customers may still apply to a controlled environment. So what you are referring to, it's a non-controlled environment where you have no idea who is accessing what. So the historical peer-to-peer issue that we had at the very beginning of this working group. So if we believe that this still applies, then you have to do something.
Okay. Good.
Vijay Gurbani. So I'm curious. I completely agree with John that this is probably not needed in infrastructure type of environments. But it also seems reasonable that BP22 succeeds to a certain extent, the BitTorrent extension protocol that does reverse DNS. So is it just that DNS ops is not going to allow a draft to go out that that does that, or is there some other reasons?
We talked with it was campus network people doing DNS, and they also said, even for them, they have a really controlled environment where they basically sit on the DNS server, but they also give, let's say, parts of the tree to the different faculties of the university, and they already say the reverse DNS stuff is not looking great for them. So we had like 1 hour discussion or 2 hour discussion with that guy, and we went out, we're really down. Like, oh no. It seems to really an operational problem out there.
Okay, thanks.
And what we should have done is take a slide and make those really writing down those problems. And maybe we should be doing this and sending it to the list.
Yeah, that might help, I think.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Richard Lee, me again. On the third party discovery part, I completely realized why it was in there. Or that use case was in there, and that we should have a way to help clients with that use case to solve it. But if we don't want to do DNS, the other thing is to say in the draft, I know this has been discussed at least in deployment considerations and in the past for discovery, was have the client do its own discovery and to pass that IP address to the Altos, or to the tracker, and then do the discovery that way.
Right.
Just if we just, maybe one way forward might just be prescribe that solution, and then if we need to do a DNS or something else for a third-party discovery later, we can do it at that point.
Yes.
I'm just looking for ways to simplify it.
Yeah,
to
good point. Yeah.
It's like
the problem we had, we got it, let's say, we tried to get the, like, let's say, a universal solution and got frustrated, and it's like sometimes you have to back up and we'll consider it. It's time for this.
John Peterson, just more on the DNS thing and DNS ops and kind of the ITF culture of this. I mean, this obviously is not the first working group that studied this. I know people have come up here before from Accrete, from the emergency services group, for example.
Yeah.
This was extensively studied by those guys and trying to figure out, based on your IP address, what was the right PSAP for you to contact and things like that. And I think that if the ITF is going to take this on, honestly, it's not going to be us.
True.
Like, there would have to be, like, an in-area BOF or something where people really agreed on a mechanism for this, because the fundamental problem is that it works sometimes, but the only times you want it are cases where you don't know if it'll work or not.
Yes.
Okay? And that is really the underlying issue of this. And yes, I mean, it may be better than nothing, but given the smorgasbord of possible options we have here and what the deployment scenarios look like, I'm not persuaded that it's really worth us fighting, I guess, over this. And really, if people here do think this is a promising approach, let's have a BOF in the area about it.
Right. Good point. Any volunteers? Okay. Thank you. Any other questions?